Next up on the morning show today, Rebecca Cook is in the studio with us, Democrat running in Western Wisconsin's congressional district. It is nice to see you again, Rebecca.
It's great to see you again, too. It's great to be back here. A lot of road construction projects going on. It's summer.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, so you made it here. That's half the battle, right?
Yeah.
We talked to you late in the year last year, mm-hmm. and you had just kind of announced, and you were just kind of making the rounds. And how many miles have you put on since?
Lots of miles, you know, and this isn't my first rodeo. I was grateful, you know, to be the Democratic nominee in 2024. Last cycle, I outperformed every Democrat on the ticket, including Harris by 9,000 votes and our Senator Tammy Baldwin by 5,000 votes. And we outperformed, I think, in such a big way because we continue to show up. We show up in small towns, rural communities, big and small, but really trying to meet folks where they're at and talking to them about the issues and the things that we see are really keeping folks up at night. So, and I'm sure I'll be back again before long, but I'm here today. We've got a meet and greet going on, so I'm looking forward to connecting with people and hearing what's on their hearts and minds right now.
Oh, so what is the most common thing? Is there a common thread that you hear when you're out and about?
Yeah, well, I've been knocking a lot of doors, even this 100-degree weather, and I've been out at parades, community events, county fairs, you name it. And that is like the question that I ask. Sometimes when you ask people, you know, what's the most important issue to you? They're like, well, I'm not really political. And I was like, everything's political. You know, it's more like, what are you worried about? What's keeping you up at night? And often I think the things that I hear about from folks the most is concerns about rising costs, in particular healthcare. Healthcare costs are really through the roof for Wisconsinites and Americans because of the passage of the one big ugly bill, what's that's going to do to Medicaid recipients, what that's going to do to our rural hospitals. I've actually met here in Richland Center with your hospital CEO to talk about some of the impacts that's going to have on them remaining open and funded. Here in Richland Center, in Richland County, there isn't a single psychiatrist in the entire county, and they've been trying to recruit an orthopedic surgeon for the last 3 years. So I want to make sure that our rural hospitals can remain open and funded, you know, and able to provide care. For us, I think here in West Central Wisconsin, it's not just a cost issue, but it's an access issue. So making sure that people can get care close to home and don't have to drive further and further to get the care that they really need. I think at the end of last year, I know I was here in November, but Congress failed to expand the ACA tax credit premium expansion. So folks saw their premiums jump from $400 to $1,800 a month. I was here meeting with some Richland County Farm Bureau members who were talking about how that really impacted them in particular and seeing those insurance premiums go through the roof. I grew up on a farm up in Eau Claire on a dairy farm, and we would have insurance like depending on what sort of job my mom could get on or off the farm. And so when the ACA passed, folks like small business owners and farmers really got access to the kind of insurance that they wanted to have, right? And so with the failure to expand the tax credits, it really squeezed farmers. And that's the other issue. I think farmers are getting squeezed at every turn. Reciprocal tariffs that we've seen and how that's impacted our soybean and cranberry industries. And also this war in Iran that's increased diesel prices, fertilizer prices, and just increased prices across the board, I think, for consumers, too, that those costs get passed on to them.
You've been hearing a little bit about the 765 kilovolt transmission lines.
Yes.
You've been learning about that. What have you been hearing? What is your feeling on that?
Yeah. I think that overwhelmingly, it doesn't matter if folks are Democrats or Republicans. Most folks are opposed to these transmission lines and what that does to cut through our communities. I know that there's been some efforts at the state legislature level to try to make sure that our communities really aren't harmed in the process and to push back on some of this. And I also know here in Richland County that the county board has been pushing back on that as well. And so I think that we're hearing a lot from folks around Wisconsin about data centers. And I think you can see the writing on the wall of what these transmission lines really are and what they're going to hook up to, right? And I think overwhelmingly, you know, the public does not support data centers and does not support those in our backyard. So that's what I've been hearing most from people. And I think what has been most difficult is a lack of transparency. And I think we've got to demand transparency as voters, as ratepayers around these sorts of projects so that things aren't being done behind closed doors and secret NDAs and things like that.
A lot of people struggling, you know, in terms of the economy and things like that, trying to create an economy for working families.
That's a top priority of mine.
I was going to say, I think it is, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You know, and that's the conversation I also have with a lot of folks is people are trying to fill up at the gas pump, go to the grocery store, pay their rent or mortgage and have a little bit of money left over at the end of the day. You know, I've been out talking to people. I've been holding little town halls at the tank, talking to folks as they're filling up their gas about what do they think about the price of gas, talking to people in grocery store cart corrals being like, what do you think about the price of groceries right now? And I think a lot of folks feel like corporations are really price gouging consumers, and they're very much so doing that off the backs of their workers. And I think many people that I've talked to aren't able to go on summer vacation this year. And I think that that's not the American dream that we all work really hard for, right? And we need folks that are willing to have spines and to stand up to focus on enforcing antitrust law. You look, for example, you know, at the meat industry, and we've got like four main meat processors, right? Breaking up big trust like that is something that's important to me. Or you look at the Amazons of the world and the sort of market share and like the way in which they can manipulate prices. I think we've got to have people that aren't afraid to go head on to work to lower prices for consumers.
Do you feel like being assertive, maybe that sets you apart from your opponent coming up in the primary?
Yeah, I'm in a primary right now. I think I speak my mind. I think that, you know, I'm authentic and know what I believe, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I think that that's what people are looking for right now, is a fighter that has had lived experiences to draw from, that's going to fight like hell to work to make our communities not just survive, but to thrive. And you've got to have a backbone to be able to do that. And I think my background, having grown up on a dairy farm, having run a small business, balanced budgets, taking care of employees, having started a successful nonprofit that has helped over 70 small businesses get launched across Northwest Wisconsin, really does uniquely prepare me for some of those things and some of the failed policies that I've experienced as a Main Street business owner, as the daughter of dairy farmers, to go in and make things better.
Yeah. Do you hear it from your family, you know, on the farm? Like, Rebecca, you got to do something about this.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I hear it from my neighbors. I think what was really frustrating is, you know, Derek Van Orden has had multiple cabinet officials from this administration come in to basically carry water for him because he's not doing it himself, right? He's voted for the One Big Ugly Bill, which has hurt a lot of folks in this district. He is a lackey for Donald Trump. You know, has been supportive of tariffs and the war in Iran, which, you know, I talked about how harmful that has been to our agricultural and rural communities. And so he brought, in the same week, he brought RFK Jr. up to Elk Mound, our healthcare secretary. Didn't talk about expanding those ACA tax credit premiums. Didn't talk about the hospital closures we've already seen up in Eau Claire. He talked about moving milk to the top of the food pyramid. Totally out of touch. That's what RFK, you know what I mean? Totally out of touch with what most people are struggling with right now in this district. In that same week, that was on a Monday, on Friday, Donald Trump, the president, came a mile down the road from, you know, a couple miles down the road from the farm that I grew up on. He was supposed to be there to talk about agriculture and farming and everything that he's done to support farmers. But instead, he showed everybody a picture of the reflecting pool that he was renovating, you know, in his White House ballroom renovation. And it just felt so out of touch and such a slap in the face to, I think, what is really a grave concern for a lot of folks and what their livelihood looks like. And, you know, our family had to sell our cows because of the low price of milk and competition with larger dairies. And when you sell a business like that, it's not just losing, you know, a business. It's a part of your tradition and heritage and way of life. And so I think, well, they're really playing partisan politics and Russian roulette with people's livelihoods. Like, we need folks that are going to be awake at the wheel, putting this country back on course.
Education, too, is a hot topic, and trying to figure out how to fund everything that's going on, too.
Well, I'm a very proud product of Eau Claire Public Schools, and I think that we have a big school funding problem here in Wisconsin. And so much of that is done really at the state level. But I have been making myself open and available to talking. I've been calling school board members, county board folks, city council folks all across the 3rd Congressional District. you know, if I get elected, I want to work with anybody, whether they're a Democrat or a Republican, and building strong relationships with local elected officials, I think, is important. So I've been talking with a lot of those school board members, Democrats and Republicans, who are fed up with our broken school funding formula, having to have their communities go to referendum every year, every couple of years. And that's frustrating. The use of our taxpayer dollars aren't going back into our public education system. That's something I really want to advocate for. What I can control at the federal level is working to put back together a Department of Education that this administration has been dismantling. Things like more funding for early childhood education, more special education funding, and resources for mental health services in our school districts. So those are the types of things, specific funding at the federal level, that I can advocate for to come to Wisconsin. But most of our school funding is done at the state level. So, but making sure that I'm attuned to that and building relationships so that we can work towards some change here at the state level is important.
One of the things you talked about there, Rebecca, the fact that, you know, and I hear this here too, people are tired of the bickering across party lines.
Me too.
You know, why can't we all just get along, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's things that, like, you make you who you are, right? You know, or make you kind of go towards one party or another. But I really think that at the end of the day, we're all Wisconsinites. We're all Americans first. And we've got to focus on trying to find those through threads of how we come back together in a party that is, and in a country that is deeply divided and full of chaos and in forces that are trying to pit us against each other. I think that there's a lot more opportunity to actually accomplish things and get things done if we can work across the aisle. And that's something that I really intend to do if I'm fortunate to win the primary here August 11th. Please vote for me, Rebecca Cook. And then again, if I'm able to win in November, I think kind of that would be the difference between myself and someone like Derek Van Orden, who has proven to be very divisive and follows lockstep with whatever his party tells him to do.
Let's talk about your own party.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's different factions there, too. Mm-hmm. And you've got some strong support.
I do.
From some of the old guard. I saw Bernie Sanders was one. Does that help you, do you feel, or does it hurt you? Or what's your feeling?
I mean, Bernie Sanders is the most anti-establishment, you know, I guess, politician that there is out there. Like, he's not really beholden to either party. He's a progressive first. And so having the support of somebody like Senator Bernie Sanders, who has stood up to party establishment time and time again, I'm really proud of to have his support and to have a progressive champion like that. I'll say I've gotten Bernie Sanders support, Senator Tammy Baldwin, who is another longtime progressive. But some of the support that I'm most proud of are the local electeds that have supported my candidacy. People like here in Richland Center, like Rachel Schultz, who's on the Richland Center City Council. She's also on my advisory council. There's a lot of people, as I mentioned, from school board to county board to city council that are backing my candidacy. This race won't be won on, you know, national endorsements. This race will be won on the support of people in this district. And that's support that I've worked to earn for a couple of years here as I've been traveling around the third, hosting county tours and showing up at dairy breakfasts and putting together meet and greets. And that sort of support, I think, you know, and that sort of showing up, I think, is what's important to people right now when they have somebody as in a member of Congress like Derek Van Orden, who has failed to host any sort of in-person town hall to be accountable for his votes. I think people really recognize when you're present and around.
Mm-hmm. You've raised a lot of money, obviously, too. You've got a lot of financial support. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what it takes this day and age, right?
Yeah, I'd love to see campaign finance reform. I think it's really important that we end Citizens United, that it makes it easier for folks with working class backgrounds to step off the sidelines to run for office and to be able to communicate. I think that we have a really broken campaign finance system right now, but I've taken the No Corporate PAC pledge because I don't want to be beholden to special interests or big corporations. I've taken no money from APAC. I've taken no money from Big Pharma. I can't say the same for Derek Van Orden, who has done all of those things. And I think that's the difference, is like who I'm going to be beholden to out in D.C. are the folks that elect me to be there. I think we've got to do other things to combat corruption, like ending stock trading, banning stock trading for members of Congress who can operate off of insider information to further enrich themselves. And I just I don't have any stocks, so no problem there for me.
We talked about the lines, the 765 kilovolt lines, but I know you're all about the environment too, and clean water and clean energy and those kind of things too, correct?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people care about conservation in this district. You know, we've got a beautiful, mighty Mississippi River, you know, running all along the border to Minnesota. And I like to think about the environment like I think about politics, and it's all local. We've had some pretty big issues with water quality in this district, with PFAS and forever chemicals in our water. So, you know, we talked about school funding and just the lack of funding that a lot of municipalities have. If they find PFAS in their water, oftentimes smaller municipalities, they can't remediate that problem on their own. They're going to need more federal funding to be able to address some of those water quality issues. So if I'm elected this fall, I want to call for more research, testing, remediation so that, you know, no matter what size of a community you live in, you have access to clean drinking water. And that also goes in for our rural communities. I was at a clean water summit up in Eau Claire, and talking with some folks there about some funding that came down through ARPA that allowed for more so well water in like rural communities, like you're not a part of the big city system. But this allowed for discounts basically on tests for well water. So if you were, you know, in a private well, which like my parents have a private well in Chippewa County got some funding where you could test if you have a private well too. So it's not just testing for in our bigger municipalities, but making sure that rural folks have access to those sorts of things as well.
Do you pay attention to the polls?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And how are they looking for you?
Oh, I'm up in them. I'm up both in my primary and in the general, which I think is the bigger piece here, looking ahead at, you know, who can defeat Derek Van Orden. And we've built the strength, I think, over time to be able to out communicate him and I think pull people back into the big tent of the Democratic Party and take this over the line. I think people are really frustrated with the votes Van Orden has taken. People are really frustrated with his lack of leadership and showing up in our communities and are looking for something different. So we're leading Van Orden right now by 4 points, but that's before we went on TV with some advertisements here in the last week. So you might see some of those or mailers in your mailbox, but we're starting early because this is so important. And I think the implications of this election, whether I win the primary or somebody else does, we've got to, if we're able to flip this seat, Democrats can take back a House majority and have a check on this administration and their worst instincts.
Your commercial, your video commercial, sure, shows you waitressing and, mm-hmm, and leading cows and things like,
yeah,
that. And I think that a lot of candidates, political, have no idea what goes on out here in the rural area and those kind of things. So maybe that sets you apart a little bit.
I think it definitely sets me apart. I feel like I have a pulse and understanding of a lot of the, you know, those lived experiences of my neighbors and, you know, what it's like to make tough decisions and watching our family make tough decisions, like having to sell our cattle because of the low price of milk and the heavy competition in the dairy industry. It was sort of like go big or go home. And so that was tough. And I think the same with, you know, waitressing while I'm running for Congress. I work at a restaurant up in Eau Claire called The Good Wives, and I've been working there. I've been a waitress since I was 16 years old. My first job was at Mike's Smokehouse in Eau Claire, which is now closed, but was like, had a legacy of its own. I waitressed all through college, and yeah, I've been waitressing while I've been running for Congress. I'm able to work, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights so that I can campaign by day and really work to get my message out across this district. But, you know, I've had those sorts of lived experiences, but I think also being a small business owner, I understand what it's like to not just sign, you know, the back of a paycheck, but the front of a paycheck as well.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of small businesses have struggled this year as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you drive through Western in central Wisconsin, you know, you'll see a lot of Dollar General sorted at the end of the road, but that's not what makes our community special. It's our small businesses that line our main streets and working to cut red tape so that our small businesses can, you know, move ahead and compete against some of the big, you know, Amazons of the world. We've got to level the playing field.
You're going to be pretty busy over the course of the next week and a half or so.
14
I'm sure.
days, but who's counting? So
yeah, who's counting, yeah. Right? So, do you enjoy this? I mean,
I love it.
The campaigning part of it is.
I do. Yeah. I just love talking to people, and more than anything, I like talking to people that think differently than me. And I think that that's where our campaign has been so successful. Is I'm not afraid to talk to anybody, even if we might not agree on everything, but finding that through thread that folks can. At least trust in me, right? That I'm going to work to do the right thing when I get to Congress. I think that's important. And just to hear from people right now. And I think in a time that can sort of feel so hopeless, it can feel like no one's listening. But giving people an opportunity to do that, I think is important right now, just to be heard.
If you win the next two, the primary and then in November as well, mm-hmm. are we going to see you back here once in a while?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. You're going to have to be holding my feet to the fire and keeping me accountable.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what it means to be a representative.
That'd be good. What's going to put you over the top here? What do you feel?
Over the top in the general election? Or
yeah.
Showing up. I think showing up and talking and having the pulse on what people really care about. And that's not something that you're always going to read in a poll or what a pollster or what some DC think tank is going to say. It's having the pulse of like what is really concerning people and not talking about just why the other side is bad. But if I'm elected this fall, what am I going to do better? I think people are looking for solutions and less finger pointing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and as you mentioned, civil discussions, mm-hmm. not raising your voice, you know, that's hard to do sometimes.
It's hard for Derek Van Orden, but I feel like I'm very pragmatic and know how to keep a cool head. And I've, I think, shown that through my last couple of campaigns running against a hothead like him.
Anything else you'd like to add today?
No, I'm just so grateful to be back down here. And would love to come back again maybe early next year as a congresswoman.
When you're driving through the land, what's your music jam? Do you have a...
What's my music jam?
What's your go-to?
I've been listening to a lot of Zach Bryan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like kind of he's a country singer. And I also like listening to old school country too, like Garth Brooks and things like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, it's kind of just matches our gorgeous landscape, you know?
There you go. So, yeah. Sometimes you got to have those 3-minute unwinding times, right?
Yeah, totally.
With the tunes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's so good to see you again.
Good to see you too. Thanks
always,
for having me.
Always
today.
Appreciate you thinking of WRCO when you're down in these areas.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And if folks want to learn more about my campaign, you can go to cookforwisconsin.com to learn more.
That's right. And it's cook with an E too, right?
Yeah. Not to be confused with cookie, but cook. Yes.
Cook,
COOKEFORWisconsin.com.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Rebecca Cook, Democrat running in Western Wisconsin's congressional district, stopping by the Morning Show studios today.